And that's, I believe, Jesus Christ is the message that can change our life and make it better.
A Methodist pastor in Norway seeks to bring the hope and joy of Christ in the midst of the world's bad news. We will hear from Roy Johansson in a few moments as we listen to Methodist Hour.
Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, my great Redeemer's praise.
Hello, dear friend. This is Whitney Doe inviting you to listen to Methodist Hour. We will hear the music of Diane Susick and the Haven of Rest Quartet, an informative interview with a Scandinavian Methodist, and a timely message from the Bible by John Wolfe. Stay with us and enjoy the next half hour, won't you? Methodist Hour encourages evangelical Christianity as we reach around the world. Across the centuries, Christians have loved songs praising the Lord Jesus. Here is the Haven Quartet singing, Praise Him, Praise Him. Let's turn now to The Upper Room, a collection of devotional thoughts by Christians from all around the world. Here is our reader, the Reverend Judy Wolfe.
Thank you, Whit. Our inspirational thought for today is entitled, It's a Real Baby. It is written by Shirley Cross of Kentucky, and Shirley writes, Look, it's a real baby. Galatians 4:4 is our scripture reference. When the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under law. The small mountain church was crowded with parents and grandparents. Toddlers wandered in the aisles and around the platform. One of the preschool groups I was teaching was presenting the Christmas program, and the finale was the reenactment of the Christmas story. We were using one child's baby brother as Jesus. As the angels appeared to the shepherds, one small angel lingered behind near the manger which had been set up at the side of the platform. She was enthralled by the baby. As a toddler wandered up to the front of the church, the little angel said to her, Look, it's a real baby. Though not performing her role as expected, she expressed by her words the idea of the incarnation. God's son came as a real baby. One just like us, to be born as we were, to experience what we experienced, to show us how to live, and ultimately to die for us. God knew this was the only way we could understand what our Creator is like. God became one of us. May we pray. Dear God, thank you that you sent your Son to experience the joys and hurts of life just as we do and to show us your great love. Thank you for becoming one of us so we can become one with you. In Jesus' name, amen.
And now it's Share Your Faith time. Here is Methodist Hour President, the Reverend John Wolfe.
It's exciting for me today to welcome a guest from Norway, the Reverend Roy Johansson. Roy, thank you for being with us on Methodist Hour.
I'm glad to be here.
Now, what town are you from in Norway?
My town is Larvik.
Larvik, Norway.
Yes, that's south of Oslo.
You're a United Methodist pastor.
That's right.
You serve a local church, and you also do work as an evangelist.
Yes.
What are some of the things that happen in your community or in your church that really stir you as a pastor? Maybe it's some work in evangelism or things that are happening that are very important to you.
That's to give inspiration to people. Today we got a lot of information of bad things. And one place is important to give them enthusiasm and faith for today and tomorrow. And that's, I believe, Jesus Christ is the message that can change our life and make it better.
Roy, it's so good that you're from another country and you can give a fresh perspective. We have to understand ourselves today as the church is a global church, that we're brothers and sisters across continents and everywhere. And, you know, when we in America for the first time in our history experienced the tragedy of terrorism, you know, in such a major scale in 9/11, how did the people in your church feel about that? What was their reaction, I guess?
Well, you're thinking about September 11,
yes.
Of course. And that was a big reaction in our country. Maybe all over the world, of course. But from that moment, a new knowing about what I believe is starting growing. I need to have something to hold on in these days. You understand what I say?
Yes. All of a sudden, it was very scary, and we've got to rethink our values. And
yeah. Can it happen here? And they can happen in our country, and our area, and so on. And so we don't know. So we are fighting against an invisible
enemy, I guess.
Yeah, I think so.
Yes, and so.
So. And therefore, people more and more are open for what's going on today and for the future. And that I believe the church have a chance to bring good news into that.
I see.
Yeah, that is a challenge for us.
And the gospel message fits right into that, doesn't it?
Yeah.
In faith in Christ, then becomes a strength and something to hang on to.
That's right.
That is so powerful. The partnership among churches in the world, I mean, across denominations, across continental lines and so on, is so significant today. And you're a United Methodist, which means we're brothers and sisters in Christ. We're in the same church family.
That's right.
Do you feel the support from Methodists in the United States? Do your people feel us as really connected together?
Yes, I think so. And therefore, I'm here.
That's right. You're a member of NAMI, the National Association of United Methodists Evangelists.
Mm-hmm. And many places here in America have been open for me to have revivals meetings. So I think we are a big family together.
Reverend Roy Johansson from Norway, thank you so much for being with us on Methodist Hour.
Nice to be with you.
A blind and lonely Scottish minister wrote some of the most beautiful words of Christian surrender and hope ever composed. O love that will not let me go. George Matheson said of its composing, quote, "Something happened to me which caused me the most severe mental suffering. The hymn was the fruit of that suffering. It was the quickest bit of work I ever did in my life. I had the impression of having it dictated to me by some inner voice rather than working it out myself. I'm quite sure the whole work was completed in 5 minutes." End quote. Matheson was singing about the love of Christ. "O love that will not let me go, O light that follows all my way, O joy that seekest me through pain, O cross that liftest up my head." Matheson fell asleep in Jesus on August 28, 1906, to wait the break of eternity's dawn, confident in the assurance that the promise is not vain, that morn shall tearless be. Here is the lovely voice of Diane Susick singing George Matheson's immortal song. That was Diane Susick, "O Love That Will Not Let Me Go." Today's message is entitled, Starting Over at the Beginning. Here is Methodist Hour President, the Reverend John Wolfe.
Thank you so much, Brother Witt. The gospel lesson is Mark chapter 1, verses 9 through 15. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven. It said, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." And the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness for 40 days, tempted by Satan, and was with wild beasts, and the angels waited upon him. Now after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. And he was saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." Amen. Now this is the first Sunday in Lent, and if you're like most of us, you'll be thinking about some things you want to give up for Lent. But today, as we think and pray about this most important season of the Christian life, I want to ask you to reconsider what you might do during this preparation time, this preparation for the holiest time of the year. Would you do that for me? Now, for just a moment, let's look together at our scripture. If this is at all familiar to you, you'll notice that there's an absence of the details of how Jesus was tempted. The other gospel writers, like Matthew and Luke, are much more elaborate in their description of the temptation scene than Mark is. I think one would have to ask, why in the world did Mark leave out so much, or did he really leave anything out at all? You see, for Mark, the most significant details are right in front of us. Mark tells us that Jesus was tempted by Satan, that he was with wild animals, and he was attended to by angels. You see, it was a common belief in those days that demons lived inside of wild animals. So the point is then that Mark does tell us that Jesus faced the worst possible situation. He was sent. Actually, the word really means that he was thrown out into the desert, and he was alone, and he was with wild animals full of demons, and all of this for 40 days, and I can't imagine anything worse, can you? Now, why did Jesus face this horrible testing or temptation? It was, I think, his time of preparation. Remember now, the text does not say that he went out to think it over. Finally, in pure exhaustion, though, Jesus stood with evil all around him, and was attended to by a host of angels. Jesus was preparing for the cross, good friends. It was out of this meaning that I think that I'm asking you to claim once again the true significance and meaning of Lent. You see, it's not a time of giving up, but it's a time of cleansing and preparation. It is not a time for sackcloth and ashes and mourning. No, it's a time for refreshing and for preparation for Easter and celebration. Now, you know, I remember so well as a little boy the members of my family talking about giving up things for Lent, and somehow candy always came to the top of the list. Now, at the beginning of Lent, that's not so bad. But about just the time I started getting used to it, the stores all began to advertise those big chocolate marshmallow eggs. I mean, it just went about, drove me crazy. I'd see those things and want them. You see, we made some sort of special rules, though, in our family, and I think in our church. It said that you could eat anything you wanted to on Sunday. Sunday was a kind of Lent-free day. Now, I have to confess, there were quite a few times that I included Saturday in my Lent-free celebration. Of course, it was late Saturday afternoon. Now, as best I understand the idea of giving up my favorite thing for Lent was that it would remind me of my temptation to eat it anyway, and then that would remind me of the temptation that Jesus had. And I'm honest when I tell you that I do recall times when I did think about our Lord and his temptation as a direct result of my giving up candy for Lent. Of course, if you're a real candy lover, you must admit that Lent is a terrible time not to be able to touch it. I mean, candy is all over the place. But in a serious note now, you can see that Lent is a time for you and me to begin to draw close to God, to draw close to God through the power of the cross and the resurrection of Jesus. To really come close, though, we must look at our own temptations and our failures, and to be sure, of course, of our successes in overcoming those temptations, to think, to be self-examining. Now, however you express your understanding of Lent, I want to ask you this year to not only give up something, if that is your way, but to give yourself something else, to give yourself 15 minutes a day. I want to ask you to take this 15 minutes, and you might even have to break it up into two parts if you're really, really busy and on the run, but consider giving up 15 minutes. And during these few minutes, here's what I want to ask you to do. First, just relax. Just relax and be quiet. And then say out loud, I am going to spend this time with you, Lord. Be present with me. And the second thing would be to make a selection from the Upper Room Devotional Guide or some other material that you have. If you don't have one of the Upper Rooms, why, stop at a local United Methodist church, and I'm sure they'll give you one. Or if you want to, write to me and Whit, and we'll send you one. But it doesn't matter what it is, but some devotional guide. Now, of course, if you're already using similar devotional materials, of course, continue to use that. But this time, I want you to take this time with the Lord. Maybe it should only be maybe 5 minutes to read that. And then for the remaining 10 minutes, though, I want you to think about one question and see where it leads you. Here's the question. What is it in me that so often separates me from Christ? Ask yourself, what is it in me that so often separates me from Christ? Sometimes it's something you've done wrong will come to your mind. It might be someone you've taken advantage of or someone with whom you're very angry. It really doesn't matter. There's a lot of possibilities. Only you will know. But now listen to me carefully. Most of us are quick to think of those things that we have done wrong and begin to feel all of the necessary guilt. Don't be too hasty to beat up on yourself. I mean, it's easy to do because there are also for us many experiences that have hurt us so deeply, some that we're even afraid to really open up, open to anyone even. Yes, sometimes even to God. We fear being hurt again. But in any case, as you spend these few minutes with God, let your heart be open to Him and allow the floodgates of your memory to just sort of burst open and pour out to Him whatever comes. Remember, He's already drank of the most bitter cup. Nothing you can bring forth will cause Him to back away. God is so ready to be open to you. Now here's what you can expect to happen. Think about this. You will discover that you will become free of some guilt that has held you back, and you begin to find healing for that deep that is so hurt that you've been carrying around all by itself. It'll begin to come to you. Spend that 15 minutes a day. During this season of Lent, keep reminding yourself that this is a time for cleansing and drawing close. It's not a time for condemnation and punishment. But as you get closer to Easter, you begin to feel the deep joy of the coming of Christ coming into your life. It'll come from way down deep inside you where those things that are separating you lurk. And in some place in the dark corner of your life, you might all of a sudden discover there's light that has been burst into that, and you'll feel Christ into your life. Now, I want to covenant with you, myself, with Whitney and me and Judy and our volunteers. We're all going to work on this together. I want you to know that we're going to do the same things. And I'm counting on you to do the same. If it comes to your heart to write us a note, do that. Just tell us how it's coming. Now, good friends, I know that you already pray, and most of you who are listening are prayer warriors for us. But I'm asking that during this time of Lent, this special season, just a few weeks, you'll covenant with yourself and with God. God, I'm going to spend this time with you every day. Try to do it at the same time. It's not necessary, but it helps so much. And just offer your life to Christ, and let the light of His Holy Spirit just flood all through you. Don't be afraid to say out loud those things that are on your heart. I promise you, you'll get closer. It'll mean so much. Lord Jesus, thank you for these dear friends who not only listen to us, but pray for us. And I pray that this season of Lent will be an exceptionally rich time for them. As we pray for our world, as we pray for each other, and pray for the things that you've called us to do, we ask you to help us set aside those things that separate us from this relationship you so desperately want to have with us. In the name of Christ, amen.
Savior is waiting to enter your heart.
Thank you, John Wolfe. Dear listener, John Wolfe and I are asking you to set aside 15 minutes per day during Lent to be quiet before God. Read scripture and a devotional, but also confess your sins and needs, and then be receptive for God's grace and life-changing power. As John has said, Lent is not primarily a time for sorrow and grieving over our sins, but also a time for preparation for the love of God through the cross and the resurrection to fill your life with joy and power. During your 15 minutes
of prayer before God, be receptive to the Holy Spirit and His gifts for you. Pray for our suffering world, for hurting and suffering people. Great blessings await you as you wait before the Lord.
John Wolfe, I know you've got another message. Share your word with us now.
Thank you very much. You know, last week I held a funeral service for a person who was 90 years old. She had an amazing life. The family gave me her favorite scriptures. Now, friends, usually there's only one. She had five, and she knew them very well. The amazing thing to me was, here was this rather small 90-year-old woman who had influenced the lives of not only her immediate family, but also hundreds and hundreds of others. And she did it by the way she lived her life and what she taught her children to believe in. It was not just the words, but words put into action. She was like a walking picture of the gospel. She worked through her County Board of Education for special needs children. She played a major role in her garden club. She was an avid golfer and sang in the choir in her church and was married 64 years. Her loving spirit and generosity spread all over her community, and she has continued it through her family and the lives she touched. And listen now, not only through the lives she touched, but through the lives of those whom she touched, and on and on. I began to think of how much energy we spend in our world fighting over possessions, power, and money. You know, we don't seem to be getting any better. But just think of what it would be like if we chose to live like the gospel wants us to. You know, we will be remembered not by what we have, but who we were and how we lived our lives. Our website is MethodistHourInternational.com, MethodistHourInternational.com. Please send us a note or an email. Let us know how we're doing. Now, I promise you, you will not be put on a mailing list or anything else. Nobody's going to call you or contact you unless you want it. And I pray His grace and joy just pour all over you today. Amen.
Let us urge you to attend your neighborhood United Methodist Church or the church of your choice, where you will be offered Christ and meaning and joy for your life. Get to know your nearby Christian clergyman. And now until next week, this is your producer and host, Whitney Doe, praying that the good news will always be yours. And may the Lord bless you and keep you.